All right, good morning. Is this thing on? We picking up loud and clear? Three batteries and we're full. Okay. Good morning. All right, you guys are very, very friendly with one another because you just keep on talking, and that's an awesome sight. We love to hear that and see that. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then I got a couple of announcements that I want to hit on, and then we will start worshiping through song. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just come before you today. Lord, just the simple truth and the simple fact that you would give your son, send your son, Lord Jesus, give your life, that we could be gathered together in this place because of your shed blood, that you've united us. And so, Lord, as we come to worship, as we come to praise, as we come to study your word and get to draw, be drawn and closer to you and know you better, we thank you. And so we start by praising you. Lord, and I just ask that as we sit here, bowed in prayer, Lord, humbled in posture, I pray that we would be humbled in heart. And so, Father, if there's anything in us, in our hearts, Lord, in our lives, in this very exact moment, keeping us from truly worshiping you, from truly praising you, I pray that you would just call it to attention, that, Father, we would cast it off to the side, Lord, those things that we can't seem to let go of, Lord, would you loosen our grip? Would you take it from us so that you would be worshiped like you deserve for your honor and for your glory, Lord Jesus? Amen. All right, come on in, have a seat. Thank you, thank you. Okay, a couple quick announcements. Hey, you probably saw this on the bulletin board back there. This is a fundraiser benefit, and it's benefiting the church summer camp programs. So sending our kids and sending our youth to camp this summer. So what it is at Yogurt Beach up in Golden Valley, excuse me, next to the Longboards Pizza, from 2 to 6 p.m. today, if you go in there and get a yogurt, 30% of the pre-tax sales will come to us as a fundraiser. But you have to mention that this is the fundraiser for Cold Springs Valley Church so that we can get that for us, okay? So make sure Yogurt Beach between 2 to 6. I'm going to say 5:30 so that you can be here at worship tonight at 6, okay, for service tonight at 6. So 5:30, get here, bring your yogurt. It's fine. We got concrete floors. Just don't spill in the seat, right? If you're still eating your yogurt, we'll put you on the concrete, not in the chair kind of thing. But no, just go to the fundraiser tonight. It's frozen yogurt. I mean, it's real close to ice cream. They have custard that's really, I'm just putting it out there, okay? So get a big cup, fill it up all the way. But here's the thing. I hate that we have to do fundraisers sometimes. Just hear me out. And I know we got to have, you know, fundraisers and different things to raise funds for this, that, and the other. But here's the thing. Here's how we raise funds. Give your tithes in the boxes, okay? We have boxes by both doors and leaving out. Give your offering. Give your tithes. Give all of that stuff. Go enjoy some yogurt after you give your offerings, okay? All right? So that's that. Hey, we got a worship night coming up. Next Sunday night. Yeah, next Sunday night. For evening service, we will be having a worship night, and so service is going to look a little different, right? We're going to have a bunch of songs, we'll have a short message in there, but there's going to be some food as well. So the food, we're going to start eating at 6 o'clock, and then the night of worship will start at 7. So show up at 6 for food, hang out, we're going to have a great time, a great night of worship. So don't forget to mark that on your calendars. Also, we have some vacation Bible schools getting ready to kick off this summer and have some stuff. We will have one here, and we also are going to have one in Lovelock. In Lovelock, we're going to have a 3-day vacation Bible school. And so if you want to volunteer, we're going to ship you up to Lovelock for a couple days and teach some kids about Jesus. How's that sound? All right. With that being said, keep praying for Lovelock, as the Lord is calling and developing a core group up there, or out there, over there, right, in Lovelock. God is working and God is moving, and so he's establishing a core group so we can get them to the place where they get to have Sunday worship like we do, where their services, where they get to be their own healthy church again. Amen? Fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen? All right, that's what we're being equipped for. All right, that's enough of that. Let's sing.
Mic check.
The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
Oh.
every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. On earth as in heaven.
Amen.
Speak the holy name, Jesus.
time, church, I exalt thee. Nice and loud.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee, O Lord.
O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure.
We have a testimony today, and it is Michelle Houtling.
We good, Steve? Okay. Good morning, guys. The Lord and I have been speaking some time about my testimony and what that looks like, what he wants me to say, and I've asked him that these words be what he wants me to share today. So many of you know that growing up, I knew the Lord. I'm so grateful to my grandmother, for she's the one that shined her light for me to be blessed. There is no way I can repay her for showing me who the Lord is. However, I was very young, and I had no understanding at the time exactly what was taking place in my life, that seed of being planted. I grew up fast as a child and faced many stumbling blocks, trials, and heavy burdens. And because these things had taken place, I blamed Christ. I had no understanding or relationship with him. Knowing now what I did still stings. And at my lowest, he was still working, even though I didn't understand. Fast forward to when I finally gave my life to him, with the understanding of who our Savior is and what he has done for us, the blessing we all get to receive because of him. And man, let me tell you, I really had some stuff to work out. I know it's hard to recognize when we're going through something. I used to get angry, but today I pray and surrender any doubt. When my husband and children gave their life to the Lord, I wasn't ready by a long shot. I was still working through my stuff with the Lord. I wanted to be 100% committed. When I gave my life, I had to lay it all down and put it back in his hands. So things might be a mess where we all are. But there is a message, and for those who have yet to give your life to him, one day you'll see it and understand. I carried things I needed to let go. I had to open my heart and surrender them. I remember when I was ready, I was running the projector at the community center. So as Pastor Tom had an altar call, I couldn't step forward. But the Lord pressed it on my heart, so I took out my notebook, and I wrote, I want to be baptized. That day, I gave my whole life over to him. Since then, the blessings he gave me, the family and him I was given, how you, my brothers and sisters, strengthened me. You have all helped me in understanding. You've taught me and listen to me. Each day amazes me at what depths he calls me to. I can't get enough. I just want to go deeper. I recently had to be reminded by my son Blake that God strategically places you to shine. God will use you. We just need to allow him. The blessing will be abundant, I promise. And in Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm excited to be starting the second step class with everyone, and I can't wait to see what the Lord has next. Thank you, guys.
Just for those of you who don't know, that's Michelle, head of hospitality, all right? So when all the hospitable things take place around here, praise the Lord for working through her, right? And others, not to put any. I remember that, though, when when her whole family gave their life to the Lord and got baptized, and she's like, nope, not me, Pastor. And which, she's like, I got to make sure this is my relationship. I remember that day. And then, yeah, when she said, hey, I want to be baptized, but I had to run the projector. So it was quite funny, but I give all the credit to the Lord because he just had her sitting there with scripture, right? With scripture, that she's just clicking through the scripture because she worked on the projector, and she just all the time through scripture, all the time through the praise songs, all the time through that, how the Holy Spirit just works in his ways. Amen? Yeah, so cool. Is that not coming through? Do we need to get another headset? Is the headset working? Blake, can you go get another headset, please? Make sure it works. Make sure it's turned on. Make sure it works. Does anybody else need a headset? Like, it's hard to hear? Any adults? Any adults who need a headset? You're not going to get rap music or anything out of that thing. You'll still get me, okay? All right. Children, you're dismissed off to Children's Church. All right? Run, children, run. There's a lot of adults leaving, too. Maybe we should all go to children's class. All right, we'll give them a few minutes. Hey, we skipped a week because we were in Mother's Day last week, so we skipped a week, but we're getting back on the 1 Corinthians railroad or train here as we get to this. And so we're going to, man, I was struggling this week with like how big of a section I wanted to take. And the beauty of God's word is there's so many sermons in all of his word. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 25 through 31. I was going to go into chapter 2, but as Paul kind of, the way that the scripture's kind of broken up here, the last section that we were talking about was about Christ, right? And this section is going to be about God's way, because when we get into chapter 2 is going to speak a couple of things, but chapter 2 is really going to be a lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I didn't want to get into chapter 2. Part of chapter 2 goes along with this. Next week, Lord willing, we will see that. But today we're going to talk about God's ways, about how God chooses and Christ gives. And so we're going to talk about this. This is how God does things. This is one of the ways God does things, but it doesn't make sense as far as the world is concerned, right? I mean, we had talked about how the world sees the crucifixion of Christ Jesus or the gospel, the good news, as foolishness. And so it's foolishness to those who are perishing, the word tells us. But to those who are being called, right, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so we're going to talk about God's wisdom. And this theme of wisdom is going to carry through chapter 2 as well. And so there'll be a little bit about that today. It's going to be part of it. But here's a thing. Here's the thing. God has called you in Christ Jesus. Christ has given himself so that we can be conformed or transformed, right, to the image of his son Jesus. And so there's a lot that takes place there, and there's a lot of different scriptures with it. And I want to share a word that David Pryor points out. He says this: it takes much time, consistent study of the scriptures, and constant illumination by the Holy Spirit to reproduce the mind of Christ in a Christian community. That process involves unlearning the wisdom of the world as much as absorbing the wisdom of God. It is important, therefore, for Christians today to appreciate the ways in which our thinking has been influenced by the secularism of our own age. In the same way as Paul found it necessary to uncover for the church at Corinth the emptiness and folly of contemporary thinking. Man, what a good word, right? What a good word that is. And so we have to spend some time unlearning, right? Some time unlearning certain things. How many of you have some preconceived ideas about just anything, right? How many of you just, right? You thought something was going to be this way because everybody and everything always told you these things are just, this is just going to how it's happened. Who walked into marriage thinking that you would never fight? Any of you? Silly people. How many of you are in a marriage that never, no, never mind, I won't ask that question, right? Here's the truth. We have these ideas about how life is supposed to be, and we have preconceived ideas, and we have actually the world impressing on us before we come to Christ, and even after we come to Christ, we have the world impressing upon us who God is, and we have to come to the truth of who God is according to what he says, right, and not to what the world says. And so this is part of that truth. And so we're going to start at verse 25, and so if you'll stand as we read God's word. We're going to start at verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Father, we just come before you. Lord, that our boasting would be in you and you alone. And so, Lord, we pray and we ask that you would strike all pride. Lord, you would make it clear. Lord, and that you would cast it out of here. Lord, those of us who continue to hold on to it and run back to it, Lord, would you change our hearts today? We want to praise you, Jesus. We want to be able to give everything to you. In your name, amen. Have a seat. All right, so we got a few things. So this is about God's ways. Verse 25 starts out with, the foolishness of God, not that God is a fool or that he does foolish things, but he's referencing back to those who say that the cross is foolish, right? Those who say, "What? Now, why would a God die, right? How many of you think, like, if God is all-powerful, why would he die, right? And so that sounds like foolishness, and to the world, it was foolishness because that wasn't powerful. And so when he talks about God's foolishness is that he would give of himself to die for us, or just to die in general, was foolishness to the world, and it still is. But he says, listen, that foolishness is wiser than anything man could come up with. You know, we don't want to confuse meekness and weakness. He says the weakness of God, again, God's not weak. Christ was meek. You know, you remember when Jesus said, hey, I could call down what? How many people? How many angels? I mean, like, he could come and call anything to wipe out what he wanted. He says, but that's not what God called me to. He says, I'm going to do what the Father's called me to. And so what the Father called him to was to submit to death on a cross. For us, that sounds weak. How many of you like the thumb wrestle? Let's not even say arm wrestle. How many of you like the thumb wrestle? No? None of you? Who's got some big old paws? Let's make it a real good, right? Right? How many of you want to thumb wrestle, right? There's a few of you, right? Because you're like, man, I don't want to lose. Like, so when things are drawn in, you're like, well, weakness is not something that the world tells us should be exalted. Weakness is not something, so if you have the power, by all means, win, right? Who likes football? Yeah. Who likes your team to win? Like, here's the thing. I'm a poor loser, but I am also a poor winner. One of these days, the Dallas Cowboys are going to come back around, and we're just going to stomp everybody, right? Like, that's... Like, I want the undefeated season. Now, that's a powerful football team. And so for me, like, here's the thing. If they just keep losing and just keep losing and keep losing, I'm not going to be like, man, they're the, like, you wouldn't make sense if I said, man, they're the greatest team ever, would you? And so the fact that Christ would let himself be crucified, right? That's weakness. And God says, listen, his weakness is stronger than anything man could come. Because guess what? It was in that weakness that he saved the whole world, right? That he saved all that would come to him. That he saved all that would respond. Now, that's not weakness. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. And so it's God's wisdom. It's God's strength. And so what we have in verse 26, he brings us to this fact. And so he calls us to actually, what Paul says is, he's telling the Corinthian church, which also points to us, because listen, we have to self-examine, right? So this is what Paul's saying. He's like, for consider your calling. And so the first point is that there's a calling that God has called. God has called you. And we can argue through, we don't want to get into Calvinists and all these kinds of things, like is it an effectual calling? Is it this and is it this? Here's the fact. God has called you. You're here today, and you've already heard the gospel. Here's the gospel. Jesus Christ gave his perfect life and shed his perfect blood for the payment of your sins. He took your place, and he was raised from the dead, proving that he was powerful. There's the gospel. You want to say, I don't know if I'm called. You're called. He just gave you the gospel. And if he's put a hinge of fluttering in your heart, that's for you to respond to that gospel. You've been called. And so when we talk about the call of God, there's the call to salvation. And so what he's saying is, here's the thing. Consider your calling. So the first thing is like, you've been called. The importance of being called is who you've been called by. How many of you, your phone, like I love these things on the iPhone where like it'll tell you that it's a telemarketer or it's a spam or it's all these kind of things. You're like, woo-hoo, yep, nope, nope, nope. And you don't have to answer those. Why? Because you know who's calling. Well, here's the first truth of the calling. Paul calls them, he says, hey, listen, or he tells them, listen, consider your calling. And so to consider your calling, you have to consider who called. And so he's saying, God has called you. This one person, this power, this wisdom, this strength, he has called you. And so I want you to consider your calling, that it's not about you. And so the first thing is that God has called you. God has called the Corinthian church, and he calls these believers. Point number one, God called. And so how does God call? Well, he calls people to himself not based on attributes that the world tells you or might value or does value, like wisdom, power, or nobility. Nobility being privilege, okay? How many of you were privileged? Right? I know there's a bunch of stuff in society. Oh, if you're this and this and this, you're privileged and you're this and you're that. Here's the thing. If you were born in America, you're privileged. Right? Even the poor in our nation, listen, even the poor in our nation are richer than many other entire nations. But he didn't call us here in Colts Rings because we're Americans. He didn't call us because we were so smart and so wise. Listen, some of you are smart and some of you are wise. Some of you have some power according to what the world would consider. God didn't call you because of any of that. Listen, Jesus says in Luke 16:15, and he says to them, you, meaning the world, are the ones who justify themselves in the sight of men. But God knows your hearts. For what is considered exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And so when we take anything that we believe ourselves, or our power in ourselves, or anything in our flesh, anything that we can offer to God of ourselves or anything that the world tells us is an actual abomination to God. So all these things, when you try to come to God and say, well, God, I'm so smart. God, you should really use me. God says, that's an abomination. Get it out of here. And so what God is doing in this, because here's what happens. God calls. Who does he call? How does he call? Well, he calls the not many. When we try to bring something to God and say, listen, you should use me, right? I'm number one. I'm the best in this. According to Jesus, that's an abomination. And so what does he call? Who does he call? Well, he calls the not many. Now, he says right here, not many were wise. And again, I already said wisdom is going to continue to be the subject spoken of through chapter 2 because this wisdom, right? Wisdom comes with age. Who agrees with that? Yeah, a certain amount, because guess what? You're like, man, how many of you, if you could go back, you wouldn't do, and you have something to fill in that blank? How many of you? Right? We call that wisdom. Actually, that's knowledge, because here's the thing. Wisdom would be if you actually applied that truth, if you got the chance to. Because wisdom is an application of the knowledge that you have. Here's the problem. The world would call you wise because you have a lot of knowledge. The world would call you wise because you do certain things the way that the world says, and it makes you powerful. It makes you, quote unquote, smart. It makes you all of these different things. And so he didn't call many wise. Now, that's not to say, hey, when we look around, is there nobody wise in the church? That's not what he's saying. He's not saying that. He's not saying that wise people cannot come to the Lord. He's not saying powerful people can't come to the Lord. He's not saying that noble or privileged people can't come to the Lord. But what he says is, listen, I didn't call many of you because what would happen in the church? That ego would really start to come if all of us were wise, if all of us were powerful, if all of us were what? Noble, apart from Christ. This church would be full of a whole bunch of really awesome people. And the Lord would be set aside very, very quickly. Now that doesn't mean that you can't be wise, you can't be powerful, doesn't mean those things. Here's the truth of what God is getting us to. He is overthrowing human pride, with all of that stuff. God is trying to get rid of that. Because we can't truly come to God, we can't truly serve God if we're not humbled. Wise, powerful, noble, or privileged. And what he's saying here is what he's responding to in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. I'm going to read just those two. But in Jeremiah, you'll get to these. In Jeremiah, you get the whole story here. Thus says Yahweh, the wise man must not boast in his wisdom, and the warrior must not boast in his might. The wealthy man must not boast in his wealth. And so he's saying, listen, if you have all these things, don't boast in these things. But only in this must the one who boasts boast. That he has insight or knowledge, and that he knows me, that I am Yahweh, showing loyal love, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for in these things I delight, declares Yahweh. Here's the thing. No matter where you're at today, no matter who you are, your power, your wisdom, all that kind of stuff, what God calls us to is the same. Don't boast in any of that stuff. Boast that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not because of that stuff. This is what he talks about, that you know that I am Yahweh, that you know he is God, that you know he is the Savior, that you know that he shows loyal love. You know that he is a just God showing justice. You know that he is righteous and declares and demands righteousness on this earth, that he delights in those things. That requires a whole bunch of relationship. How many of you know the gender of your spouse? That should be an easy one. You have some knowledge. How many of you know what your spouse's favorite restaurant is? Don't look and ask right now. Doesn't qualify if you didn't know. How many of you know what your spouse is going to say once you leave church? Some of you will be asleep and she'll be like, hey, why were you asleep in church? So that's an easy one. How many of you know what is your spouse's desire right now? Why do you know all that stuff? Because that is the closest relationship you have here on earth with another human. because it's the relationship. And so you know all of these things about your spouse because you spend time, because you want to know, because guess what? And so you can say, hey, listen, I know my wife. And listen, you can boast in that. That's not a bad thing. And so this is what God says. Listen, I want your boasting. If you're going to boast about anything, I want your boasting to be in that you know me, that you're close with me. And this is not a boasting like, I know Jesus better than you. That's not the boasting he's talking about. The boasting is the fact that Jesus has called you, that God would call you out of a world to know him, to walk with him, to love him, to enjoy him. And so it's like, man, that doesn't matter what's coming at me. God saved me. You see how that doesn't put you down? I can tell you how God has delivered me from drinking, how God has delivered me from smoking, how God has given me all these things, and I can boast and declare praises in his name and in his power and not put you down. See, because here's human boasting. Human boasting says, I'm smarter than you. I'm more powerful than you. I'm richer than you. I got more whatever than you. False humility. Oh, I'm just so much more humble than you. That's not boasting in the Lord. That's still boasting in yourself. And you lost the humility. So don't use that one. But what God does is in the call is he calls us. He's calling people. He's calling people to himself. But also what he's calling, part of this call is that he's calling on these three which have the basic and foundational roots of pride. He's calling on these three not to trust in their resources, but in knowing the Lord, the only true God. And so he says, listen, here's what the call is. The call is to know me. The call is not to know yourself better. It's not to be a better person. It's to know me. It's to walk with me. It's to enjoy me. And so that's what he's calling. And so he's just using these three because there's a million things he could use. Hey, I didn't call this and I didn't call this and I didn't call this. No, no, no. He says, listen, these are all the things that you actually take pride in. Your wisdom, your power, excuse me, your wisdom, your power, and your pedigree. You ever watch some dog shows? I know some of you are thinking, if you really love this, I apologize. But like every once in a while, like you've gone through the TV and you're like, man, the dog show's on. And you're like, you must be that bored to where you're like, I'm going to watch this. Just hear me out. Okay. Am I about to offend anybody? That whole place is full of people, right? Full of people praising one another, judging one another on how pedigree their dog is. No, serious. Serious. And if you love your dog and you comb your dog, listen, I'm not saying don't love your dog. That's not what I'm saying. But we have whole associations on the pedigree of animals. Right? I was talking to a guy, I don't know, it was like 2 weeks ago, and part of his retirement is dependent upon the pedigree of his dogs. Because my dog goes back to kings and blah, blah, this many centuries, this, that, and the other. So I can get X amount, this, that, and the other, because these dogs are so pedigree. You see what he's talking about in privilege, in noble birth, and these types of things where we can put status as something making us important or depending upon something like that. And so when he talks about these simple things, this wisdom and this power and this pedigree, God says, listen, it's none of that stuff. I didn't pick you because of that. I didn't call you because of any of that. In fact, I called the opposite. Man, you want to talk about power? I saw a beautiful yellow Mustang out there. Now, I don't know whose it is, but I bet that baby has some power, right? And we'd love for you to join the church, right? Like, it's just, you know, part of the membership form is the pastor gets to drive it. You know, And so, you look at that, and I was like, man, that's a powerful car. But here's what he says. This is God's choosing. So God is called, right? And the next thing he moves to is God chooses. Now Pinto owners, I apologize. If you own a Pinto and you park that thing right next to that Mustang, how many of you think that Pinto has more power than that Mustang? How many of you say, I'm racing for pinks if you own the Pinto? Because you look at something and you're like, man, that thing has to have more power than that thing. There's just no way that thing could win. Well, here's the thing. With the next point, God has chosen the weak things, the feeble things, the things that don't make any sense. And so in God's agenda, in his economy, he says, I'm taking the Pinto. And you're like, why in the world would anybody take the Pinto? Because the Pinto, under God's power, under God's pushing, under God's inspiration, will smoke that Mustang 100 times out of 100. And you're like, well, wait a second. Are you now boasting? Yes, boasting in the Lord. Because here's what he says. He says, listen, not many of you were these things. And so what he's saying is, in God's choosing here, God has made it evident, and it's proven. Here's the thing. It's proven in the manifestation of the believers, or in the believers' lives, right? That he's chosen the weak things, that he's chosen the foolish things, that he's chosen all of the riffraff to show his glory and his wisdom. It's made manifest. Listen, Corinth wasn't an unusual place by any means, but the gospel has power. It's the power to save. It's the power to change. It's the power to transform. Listen, here, when they read this, here's the thing, church. If I got up and said, hey, you know what? Here's the deal. You're all a bunch of bums. You're all a bunch of bums. You're all unimportant. You're all these kinds of things. Excuse me. You're all a bunch of bums. You're a bunch of nothings. How many of you are like, yeah, praise the Lord, pastor. Call me a bum. Call me a nothing. Would you please give me one more? How many of you? Just put your hands up if that's you. Here's the truth. When Paul says, listen, not many of you are this, and not many of you are this, not many of you are this. He says, this is actually what you are. The foolish. Because he makes reference here, right? He makes reference to calling twice. In verse 24, he talks about those who were called. And so he's talking to the church and saying, listen, those of you who are called. And then in verse 26, he says, okay, now I want you to consider that call. You've been called by God, and now this is what he says. You were called by God because he chose you. Remember as a kid playing on the field, and you're like, man, okay, we're going to make teams, right? The soccer game's going to start. We're going to make teams. And you had two team captains, and they start picking, and they start picking, and they start picking. Well, how do they pick? Right? Here's the thing. If you're one of the soccer captains, right, and you got a kid with crutches, right, and you know he can't run across the field, are you picking him first? Right, because you're picking by the worldly standards. Well, here's what God says. Listen, I picked that kid. And so God's choosing, he really does come. And listen to this. God says, listen, you're foolish. God chose the foolish. And so if we say, hey, we're called, Paul says, okay, consider your calling. You're foolish. How about this? You're weak. How about this? You're low and despised. How many of you say, yeah, sign me up right now? What God's doing, God's making it clear that he called you not because of who you were. Here's also what he's not calling you, and he didn't call you because of who you could be. Okay? Because some of us think, if I just had a little bit, right? If I just had a nicer suit, I'd look presentable. Right? I wear a suit every once in a while, a couple times, Christmas Eve service, sometimes Easter, every once in a while, and people are like, wow, you're really presentable. You clean up nice, right? If I just do this, then I'll be really presentable. If these things come to me, then I'll be presentable. Listen, that's still boasting in yourself. He says, listen, I called the foolish, I called the weak, I called the low and the despised. Because here's the truth, because that is where we see the power of the gospel. What's happening in Corinth here, and across all of the whole Mediterranean, really, because the gospel was being proclaimed, and the gospel had the most effectiveness with the poor, with the low, with the weak, with those who are downtrodden. In fact, you'll remember Jesus said, hey, I came to what? Preach the good news to the who? The poor. And so, as Paul says, God chose you as fools. God chose you as weak. God chose you as the low, as the despised. You know why? Because only in God's economy can the bunch of nothings be something powerful. And so we are not powerful in and of ourselves. Here's the power: that Christ would call the weak and make them strong. That Christ would call the foolish and make them wise. Now here's the problem. We start to think, oh, so now I'm wise. And you see where the boasting, where the ego starts to come back? No, Christ is the wisdom. Don't forget that that's who we are. People are like, man, I don't want to hear this. The truth has to set you free. The truth is the only thing that can set you free. And so if you come to God with your ego, it's an abomination. When we come to God and say, okay, here's the deal, God, you just give me this and give me this and give me this, and I'll take things from there. I heard a guy one time, he's a health and wealth guy. He makes this proclamation. He says, you know, I was praying, and the Lord told me that, you know, he was going to do this. And I told the Lord, I just said, you know what, Lord, why don't you just go ahead and give me a try? And the Lord said, you know what, son, go ahead and do that. He's like, and I went out, and I was like, you know, when some people say, I can't walk into the church or the lightning will hit me, I was just waiting for lightning to hit that guy. Because there he is establishing himself. He's the one convincing God of what needs to happen and that he had the power to do it. That's not boasting in the Lord. Boasting in the Lord is, yeah, you know what, Lord? I am the riffraff. I am the riffraff. And here's the truth in Corinth. The truth is that the riffraff were being saved, and that they were being changed, and that they were being transformed. He writes this letter because he says, listen, you've been saved. You've been called. The Holy Spirit is working in these gifts in you, but you guys, whoa, relax, because you're getting off the rails and all that kind of stuff. Get back to the fact that, listen, you were not smart. You were not wise. You were not strong. You were fools. It's Christ who does this. God has chosen all of that stuff for his name to be exalted. And so that's why he's calling the Corinthian church. That's why he's writing this. Christianity spread most rapidly through the lower class. You know why? Because in Roman and Greek culture, in the societies, it was all those things that made you somebody. They were class-conscious societies. And so this makes it very offensive to them because it was about the wisdom. In fact, the Greeks had, remember in Athens, and they have, Paul goes to Athens, and what does he find? He proclaims the truth because they put all of these things out to all of these other gods, and they're so wise, and they're so smart to make sure they don't miss anything. They even put a plaque up to the unknown god, just in case they forgot one, just in case they don't know. And so where does Paul go? Paul goes to the collection where they were all gathering and talking about how wise they were and about how smart they were and about how wonderful they were, about all this kind of stuff, right? He says, hang on, let me tell you what you're missing. And what do? They kick him out of town. Did you know the gospel did not have a great impact in Athens? You know why? Because they trusted in their own strength. They trusted in their own wisdom. They weren't willing to be humbled and say, okay, wait a second. There's some truth there. And so what is that truth? And so true wisdom would actually have you dig into the truth. And so they didn't receive it. And so where does Paul go? He goes to the place that receive it. And who's receiving it? Man, all the slaves. All the weak. All the poor. And they receive it. And so, listen, I want you to know this, church. God has called you. God has chosen you. Just you. Right? Don't put anything else on it. God chose me because I'm 6 foot and this. No. God just chose you. God called you. Just you. Nothing else. Because he loves you. Because his name will be exalted in him choosing you and him making you something. Right? And him making you like his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he chose you. That's why he called you. Just you. Not wise you. Not powerful you. Not privileged you. Just you. Jesus preaches the good news to you, to the poor. God chooses to overthrow the false standards that the world's been just hurling at you your entire life. Because that's what the world's doing. The world is hurling lies and falsisms and all kinds of stuff at you, trying to get you to believe it, trying to get you to follow it, and just even the smallest mistruths. just the smallest things. When we can come to the Word of God and say, no, no, that's in direct contradiction to the Word of God. And so I can stand on the Word of God. And I can do it in a way of love. Now that's wisdom. Now that's power. That's pedigree. Right? Because we are made in Christ Jesus. And so God has called you. God has chosen you. Right? To be conformed to the image of His Son. Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's an upward call. He's called you and He's chosen you and He's moving you along. This third part of this, this third part of this is God has placed you in Christ Jesus. So God has called you, God has chosen you, and God has placed you. Right here, and because of Him, verse 30, and because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus. Right? God has placed you in Christ Jesus. That because of Him, that Him is God. And because of God, you are in Christ. Right? I don't want anybody falling asleep here, so we're going to do the same thing that we always do. Put your hands up, because it means something to be in something, right? Put your hands up. Everybody's got to do this. Take your hands up. Your hands are up in the air. Put them in your armpits. Take them out. Put them back in. Take them out. Is there a difference? There's a difference. You still got hands. You can put them down now, unless we're praising. Then we're good. You have hands, but it's not until they're in your armpits that there's a change that's actually made, right? So being in Christ, right? God has placed you in Christ. It's not something you did. Listen, we got to, because remember, God called you. God chose you. God placed you. Because of Him, you're in Christ Jesus. And so to be in Christ Jesus is a work God has done, and He's done it through calling you. He's done it through choosing you. He's done it by revealing Himself to you and making it so you can respond. Listen, He's placed you, the riffraff, the fools, the weak, the despised. He has placed you in His Son, Jesus, so you can praise Him. And so He has placed you in Christ. And Christ, Jesus, is the very wisdom of God, and He's the actual substance of salvation. God has placed you in Jesus. That's what saved you. You say, no, I've been saved by faith. Yes, He placed you in it. Where did you get the faith? Man, I just worked really, really hard, and I just knew that if I just... No. You didn't work for it. Nobody can come to the Father, come to Jesus, unless who calls? The Father. Unless the Spirit draws you. Unless He calls you to Himself. Well, it was my faith. Yeah, who gave you the faith? You didn't develop the faith. We'll get into that. You didn't develop the faith. He gave you the faith. He made it possible. And He made it possible through this, so He called you. He chose you. Right? He chose you from the foundation of the earth, right? Before then. Because God is eternal. And so when He chose you a long time ago. When He called you is when He called you. But He called you because He chose you. And all of that was because He was placing you in His Son, Jesus Christ. You say, well, when was I actually placed in Jesus Christ? Man, we don't have time to get into all that. So were you placed in Jesus Christ before the foundation? When He chose you and when He called you? Right? Is that when you were placed? Or was it when you exercised that faith that He gave you, then you were placed in Christ Jesus? Man, we got a whole study we can do on that. We'll do that another day. The point for today is that God has called you, He has chosen you, and He has placed you in Christ Jesus. If you exercise that faith, He has put you in Jesus. It means He made it possible. He made it possible for you to be in Jesus, right? You couldn't stick your hands in your armpits unless it was possible for you to have hands and armpits. And some goofy guy telling you to do it. Listen, God gave you the faith. God gave you the calling. God gave you the desire. Yes, you had to exercise your faith. Amen. Amen. Because guess what? You've been running from God for a long, long time. And so He called you when He called you. So you want to talk about the effectual call? If you're in Christ Jesus, it was effectual. And so here's, God has placed you in Christ. Colossians 2:3 tells us this, that Christ, in Christ, Christ, in whom, right? It's only found in Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. You see, listen, you want to be wise, you want to be powerful, you want to be strong, you want to be pedigree, you want to be all these types of things, it's only going to be in Christ Jesus. And it's only going to be because God has placed you in Christ Jesus and started that work to conform you, to transform you, to change you. But here's the power of the gospel. Here's the power of the truth that God has called you, that God has chosen you, that God has placed you in his son. It transforms your life. If you say, hey, listen, I'm in Jesus, but your life ain't transformed, and listen, I don't need an amen, or like, oh, I'm transformed. I don't need that, because don't boast in yourself. What you need is to check your heart and be like, man, am I transformed? Have I been placed in Christ? Because listen, he's chosen you, and he's called you, he's given you the gospel. Here's the question, have you been placed in Christ? Is your life transformed? Is your life changed? Is there even a desire? And I mean transformed, I mean changed, not like, I want to fit into normal American church stuff where I can fit him in an hour and a half, and man, there's my Jesus, and there's my transformation, and I'm just going to go and do better tomorrow. And that's my transformation. That is not transformation, church. That is a practice of religion. Transformation sounds like this. Did you know during the Great Awakening, they used donkeys, right, to build the railroads and do all these things that they were doing? They used donkeys. And so this revival sweeps across, and people are getting saved. And so all these workers, right, all these workers go back to work, and the donkeys, the mules, they're not working. And so they don't know why the mules, who have always been obedient, they've always done their job, they've always done everything, why they're not working. We'll come to find out, since all the mine workers, since all the railroad workers had been getting saved, they were no longer beating and swearing at the mules. And so the mules didn't even know how to act. That's transformation. Jesus, you're my Lord, but my mouth is still filthy. Jesus, you're my Lord, but my heart still holds on to every penny I ever see. Jesus, you're my Lord, but there's no power out of this addiction. It's okay. I'm just going to be here forever. That is not transformation. That is not Christianity. God chose the riffraff, the foolish, the weak, so that they could be made strong. They could be made like Jesus. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit will conquer those things in your life. And if he's not, then you're not saved. Well, what does that look like? What do you mean, what does that look like? Don't simply say, I'm not the same person. I'm not the same person because now I'm in Jesus. Woohoo, you cannot be the same person because you moved, because you got new coworkers. And so now you think you got to fit a different part. No. This is transformation. The gospel makes transformation. Not of your situation. Not necessarily out of all of your circumstances. It makes transformation of your heart, of your soul, of your entire life, your entire being. That's where the transformation comes. You might be in the same job. You might be in the same circumstances. You might be in the same hard way. But you can be transformed in it. Only through the gospel. Only by being placed in Christ Jesus. And so ask yourself, you know, don't even ask yourself. In fact, ask the Holy Spirit of God, hey, Holy Spirit, am I transformed? Am I changed? Am I in Christ Jesus? Don't let the fear that it might not be true, don't let that fear make you run away. We're going to get into chapter 2 next week, and guess what? Paul says he came in fear and trembling. It's okay to be in fear, and it's okay to tremble before God. In fact, that's some wisdom right there. God has placed you in Christ Jesus. Wisdom, right? Here's what he says. Because of him you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Listen, that's not you. Jesus Christ became to you, to us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. How does all that work out? Well, here's wisdom. Wisdom goes back to this. God saved you by his son dying. He knew that was the only true wisdom, and his death is the highest expression of the wisdom of God. When we're united to Christ crucified and say, I am crucified with Christ, as Galatians says, we're taken up into the infinitely wise saving work of God. Right? That's when you actually enter into the wisdom. You're like, whoa, I see that truth. When you say, listen, I'm Christ's. I give him my life. That's the first wise decision we've ever made. Why? Because he showed you that to be saved, right? To be saved, it's a wise decision. He imparted wisdom to you so that you could know that you were saved from your sin. And so he made you wise in coming to Christ. Christ became the wisdom. Only in God's wisdom. Only in God's wisdom would it take Jesus' death for us to be saved. Listen, that wisdom was toward us, was for you. The next one, righteousness. Righteousness, simple definition, the quality of being morally right. And some of you can sit and say, you know what, I'm pretty morally right. Every decision you've ever made. Right, Christ became, or because of him, Christ became us wisdom and righteousness. Right? Here's the, everything, 100% righteous. It's a quality that only he possesses, right? Because we can do some right things, or we can do some righteous things, because it's simply what's morally right. But you can't be righteous, like down to your core, unless something else changes. And in fact, unless you came to Christ at your conception, your core was not righteous. It's only in Christ Jesus that we become righteous, because his righteousness is imparted to us. And so now you can make morally righteous decisions. And you say, well, I've always been able to do that. No, no, no. Your flesh got in the way. Now you do it because it's who you are. We're justified because we believe. And we're made righteous. Now here's the truth. That's the gospel. Remember when Jesus, there's a Pharisee, right? There's a Pharisee, and he's praying, and, you know, his hands are up, and he's praying, and Lord, right? And there's a guy who's down on his face, basically. He's beating on his chest. What does he say? Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Right? And then you have this religious guy over here. He's like, man, thank you that I'm not like that, Lord. Jesus, I praise you. I praise you that I'm not that guy. I praise you that I'm not in sin. I praise you that I'm not this low. I praise you that I'm not this. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. Here's this religious person. And Jesus says, that person, what? Is wrong. The person who was lifted up, the person who was made righteous, was the one who knew that he had no righteousness. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of all those who seem like they do everything right, has to exceed that. Right? How many of you know a person like, you're like, man, I don't know if they've ever lied. I don't know if they've ever told, right? They just seem that way. Right? Maybe it's your grandma. Right? One of those things like, my grandma, Jesus would not kick grandma out of heaven. There's just no way. She's just too good of a person, right? Unless your righteousness exceeds grandma's righteousness, right? No, no, no. It's more than that. It's only the righteousness that can be applied to you because of Jesus, because it's not your own. You have to be clothed with his righteousness, wrapped with his righteousness. It means perfection. You see, we need Jesus to become that. So we need God to place us in Christ Jesus so that we can be righteous. Because it's that kind of righteousness. How about this? Sanctification. Sanctification is the process of being freed from sin or purified. It's the action of making something or someone holy. Christ is our sanctification. It's because Christ was perfect. It's because Christ is righteousness. It's because of Christ that we are being set apart and made holy, that we are being purified. It's a continuing work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. Now, here's the truth. Any of you sinned since you came to Christ? Don't raise your hand. Of course you have. But the Holy Spirit is good and loving and says, hey, listen, remember that thing? That thing. Remember that thing you had to come to me and say, you know what, just forgive me and just I don't want to do that again. You see, that's the sanctification process. That's the Holy Spirit of God, and it's because of Jesus sending the Holy Spirit to you. to dwell in you. Why? Because you've been placed in Christ. You see, that doesn't happen unless God places you in Christ and places the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of himself. He has to put himself in you. The only way for that to happen is for God to put you in Christ and put himself in you. You remember when Jesus prayed, I pray that they will be one as you and I are one, the same way. And so that was Jesus calling you a long time ago. That was Jesus choosing you a long time ago. That was God himself placing you in Christ. Sanctification, it's the ongoing work. It's being made holy. It's being set apart. We can only pursue holiness by the power of Christ because we're holy in the holiness of Christ. We're going to read that later in Corinthians. Our redemption, right? Christ becomes our redemption. He becomes redemption for us or to us. Redemption is the thing, or in this case, the person, that saves or buys back, right? You ever, are coupons still a thing, right? Redeem. What does it mean to redeem? Huh? Cash in? No, when you take the, right, you take that, you're not the one redeeming because you're not buying it back. Who's redeeming? You're just going and getting something because somebody gave you a, right? You're not the one redeeming. It's a manufacturer's redemption, right? And so what happens? The manufacturer says, here's the deal. I'm going to give them a coupon. When they give it to them, when they give it to you, you give them the goods. We're going to pay for it. You've been redeemed by Christ Jesus. You've been given all of the goods. Christ is the one who redeemed you. He bought you back. He's the one who saved you. You've been redeemed by Christ Jesus. He is our redemption. That's what he's saying. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we eagerly wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Since we've been redeemed spiritually, we know that one day we're going to be completely redeemed, right? One day he's going to come and get us. Whether you're in the grave or you're still alive when he comes back, either way. This ain't rapture talk. This is that you belong to Christ. He will redeem you because you've been redeemed only by Christ Jesus. And so he says these four things. Why? The wise think they're righteous. The powerful already think they're holy. And the low, or the pedigree, don't think they need to be bought back. You see, what Paul says in all these things, and he says, listen, not many of you were wise. Don't worry, because in your wisdom, you think you're right. How many of you love to be right? How many of you think it's because you're so wise, or so much wiser than whoever you're being right over? God says, be happy that you're not wise, because guess what? If you were wise, you'd be self-righteous, right? God says, be happy that you're not powerful, because if you were powerful, you wouldn't understand that you need to be freed. You see, the sanctification, the ongoing sin in your life, you need to be sanctified. You need to be made holy. You need to be set apart. You need to be continually. But if you were powerful in your own strength, you'd be like, man, I don't need Jesus to cleanse me. I don't need the Holy Spirit to convict me. I don't need the convincing. I got this from here on out. I came to Jesus and I read his Bible once, and so I'm good, and so I'll just do what's right. You just sanctified yourself, and you can't. You see why we got to realize we are not powerful? We are not strong? It's only in Christ and redeemed. Oh, man, if you were just noble. Right? You ever watch some of these shows in the, man, some of these reality shows? I don't watch them. You can see the previews, right? And all these celebrities and all these famous people, wow, they're the most, what was the title? The most interesting people in the world or something like that, right? Pedigree. They don't need to be redeemed. They're already the most interesting or the most fascinating or the most amazing. I don't need to be bought back. I'm number one. In fact, all you people should be paying me. And we do. Social media. Like. Buy the magazine, buy the movie, buy the concert tickets, buy all that kind of stuff, and go crazy over all that kind of stuff. See, they don't need to be redeemed because they're already number one. And the world tells them they're number one, and the world encourages it. I don't need to be redeemed. That's it. So God says, okay, guess what? Be happy that you're not noble. Be happy that you don't come from the best stock in the world, that you're not a king, that you're not a prince, that you're not whatever. Be happy that nobody likes you. Be happy that people spit on you, because guess what? Jesus says, man, you're mine. Jesus was spit on, and the only thing he ever did was good. I mean, all he did was walk around and heal people, tell people the truth, cast out demons, all that kind of stuff, right? Set people free. They spit on him. So Jesus says, hey, man, if this is you, you're my kind of people. You're the ones that I want. Actually, you're the ones that I chose. You're the ones that I'm calling. You're the ones that I want to place in my son Jesus. And so here's the truth. Not in a boastful way, because he did all this so that we could boast in Christ. So that we could come to the knowledge and the understanding and the way of life that we lift his name. Right? This is not so you have to walk around like, oh, I'm just a bum and I'm just a sinner and I'm just this lowly. No. That's who you are apart from Christ. Christ has set you free. Christ has delivered you. Christ has transformed you. Christ has made you his. And so you walk different because now you get to walk in that power. You get to walk in that truth. We're going to have an invitation today. You got an invitation song? No, we haven't done it in a couple weeks, but we're going to have an invitation. I want you just, the worship team is going to start making their way up here. Unless you're on the worship team and you need to answer the altar call, then you just stay right where you're at. But I want, as the worship team is going to come up here, they're going to play a song, and I want everybody else, I just want you to bow your heads because, as Paul said, I want you to consider your calling. That's the same truth for us today. I want you to consider your calling. So we're just going to bow our heads for just a minute because you need to take some time to just self-examine. And we'll have an altar call. I'm going to have a few people come forward and receive people who need to respond publicly. We're going to have that. But we need to check inward. And so I'm going to have you bow your heads. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to consider your calling. And I want you to consider if you're trying to come to God in your own strength or in your own wisdom, in your own sanctification, in your own power, in your own glory, in anything that's other than Christ. And I want you to ask the Lord, and I want you to say, Lord, I don't see transformation. I know that's speaking to somebody. I don't see transformation. And so, Lord, why don't I see transformation? Have I given myself to you? Have I trusted in you? Have I been made new? And I want you to respond as the Lord has led you or is leading you. God shows us himself. He reveals himself to us. And then what that does is that demands a response. And so God is calling you to respond to him and to his calling. And so when they start playing, you pray as long as you need to pray. But as they start playing, and you need to respond, if you know that you need to respond, maybe you just need to come to the altar. Right? Every time God revealed himself in the scripture, guess what they did? They built an altar, and they worshiped. And so maybe you just need to come, and you just need to bow down to the altar. Just kneel at the altar, and just pray, and just come, and just worship. Maybe you need somebody to pray with you. You see, I don't even know where to go. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know. I just know that something's not right. Listen, you get to bring that to Christ Jesus. Lord, I just know that you're moving. I don't know how. I don't understand. I just know that you're moving. And I don't want to let this pass me by. I just want to respond to that. So if you need to respond, you just come forward. Need to be placed in Christ. And so, God, put me in your Son.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what I long for. Faithfulness is what I need. Faithfulness, faithfulness is what you want from me. So take my
take
Righteousness is what you are for me. So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my
church. I just want you to know the invitation is never over, right? The Holy Spirit continues to draw, and Jesus sits there interceding on behalf of those who love him, right? And so just keep calling. Keep asking him to do the work that only he can do in your life, all right? So keep asking. Hey, if you've made a decision, if the Lord is putting something on your heart, share it with somebody, because other people need to hear that not only is God speaking to you, but he's showing you something and he's moving. And we encourage one another that way. And so just share that with somebody, please. And all praise and glory to him. Amen? All right. I'm going to have Alan. I'm not sure who the deacon of the week is, but I'm going to have Alan close us in prayer. And so, Alan, would you come on up here and close us in prayer? Don't forget about the yogurt fundraiser.